T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Bigs time. Bigs with Mully and Haw. Bigs time.
The Bigs Report with Brad Biggs.
Bigs time.
Bigsy.
His name is Brad Biggs. Brad Biggs talks football with you.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the score. Brad Biggs, the football man of the Chicago Tribune, a long time contributor to the station. And, of course, he is a valued friend, and he joins us on the Al Pamonte Ford Hotline. Al Pamonte Ford in Melrose Park. Big Zay!
Morning, Brad.
Morning, boys. What's going on?
Well, let me tell you something. There are Thursday practices, and there are some guys that can perform, and then there is what Mitch did yesterday, the stuff of legend.
Yeah. How about that?
You know, heard a lot of talk, but let's see it.
Well, and this predates Mitch. This predates Matt Nagy. It predates John Fox. The only thing you ever hear about are great practices.
Mm.
There are rarely good practices.
Mitch had another clunker. Yeah.
And I've never heard a coach or anyone else say a bad practice yesterday. It's at least at Hollis Hall. Maybe it's something special about the grass behind the building there.
It's but, magic.
Yeah, you just practice with low energy. Haven't heard that. You know, just practice with a lot of missed assignments. Never heard that. They're usually great. And so I take all that with a grain of salt.
So Mitch was a full participant, Brad, and so out in New York was Nate Solder, the tackle for the Giants. He comes out of concussion protocol, listed as a full participant. If he goes, what impact does him playing have on maybe Khalil Mack or the Bears' pass rush getting to Danny Dimes?
I don't think there should be a lot of impact, you know, and plenty has been made of Khalil Mack showing up with zeros on the stat sheet last Sunday against the Rams, and he should have something on there probably. But you know, defensive coordinator Chuck Pagano, I thought, made a fair point. He said when you boiled it down, it really had, as a team, like 4 snaps to really rush Jared Goff. And Mack has been in a slump. I don't think there's any denying that. It's 1 sack over the last 6 games. And then another thing people have been talking about is at times the Rams committing 3 guys to block Khalil Mack. That's a great thing for the Bears. That is a great thing when that happens for the Bears. Just do the math, and now you've got 10 to go against 8. Well, one of those 8's the quarterback, so really you've got 10 to go against 7, and the Bears should win. And Pagano would acknowledge that they've got guys that have got to win matchups more regularly in instances like that. But to me, Nate Solder's been very average when he has been on the field for the Giants this season. I think they had to overpay in free agency to fill that left tackle position. They don't have a guy that's playing at a high level as he was previously in New England.
What when you actually watch what the Bears are trying to get done defensively, is there an opportunity maybe in this game to be a little bit more aggressive? I mean, obviously, you got to worry about the running back. I know that he had the high ankle sprain, but they're coming off a bye week. I'm sure he had tons of treatment and did basically nothing. So maybe they're thinking that he can do some damage and they want to use him more than have the quarterback fumble on you. But do you need to try to stop the run on the way to the passer a little bit if you really want to get aggressive?
Well, yeah, I think when you look at what Bears opponents have done against them here the last, I don't know, month, maybe even more now, is they've come out and they've really tried to run the football. And if they've had some success, it's created some real issues for the Bears. The Rams were totally committed to running the ball in that game. The Eagles, I thought, were a little more run-heavy than you'd normally expect from them in that game. The Chargers were able to move the ball on the ground a little bit against them. The Saints certainly did that going back in to that game with Latavius Murray. You know, Drew Brees is out. They don't want to put a lot on Teddy Bridgewater. And really, you go back to the beginning of the slide here that the Bears are in right now with that Oakland game over in London, and the Raiders got after them running the football with Josh Jacobs. So I think the Bears have got to stop Saquon Barkley first before anything else in order to have success in this game on Sunday. The run defense hasn't been atrocious statistically, but it's nothing near what it was like a year ago when it ranked tops in the league, and it's been somewhat problematic here in recent weeks. It's not like Todd Gurley ripped him up last week, 97 yards on 25 carries, I believe it was, but he had enough success for them to stay within proper down and distance, avoid third and long, and Sean McVay felt comfortable sticking with the game plan of running the football against
You're exactly the Bears. Right, Brad. I mean, and Gurley kind of methodically wore down the Bears, and I felt like that was a smart plan for the Rams. And you look at Barkley and 13 carries, 1 yard, his last time out. He's had 2 weeks to think about that. He's more of a home run hitter. If they don't tackle him, we saw last year what that could mean, and we've seen him since he came into the NFL. This is a guy that can change a game with one broken tackle, one great move. I guess, it, you know, to oversimplify it, you saw what Roquan Smith was able to do, and when they ran the ball a lot, and he had 11 tackles and only 51 snaps. Has he turned the corner? Do you think that this is, we have seen sort of more of what we saw last year, and he's going to be more consistent over the final six games?
Yeah, I think Roquan was much better against the Rams than he'd been in the month or so since that Minnesota game, maybe a little bit longer. Yeah, that looked like a player that was moving around, that wasn't a step late, that his instincts didn't look off. You know, he looked dialed in, and I think that bodes well for the Bears, no question about that.
I got to tell you, I don't see it that way. I think he was not blocked in that game. I think that what they did is they tried to make sure that Mac didn't blow up the game. First of all, they didn't throw the ball very much. They ran the ball the whole game. And if you watch the tape of it, they were blocking up the line, and they were leaving the second level pretty much available. It was like the Urlacher in Arizona game, where when you don't put somebody on him, you let him make tackles. He had to make the plays.
Tackle.
He's got to make the tackles. I understand that. But it helps when they don't block you at the second level. And this could happen again with the Giants, by the way, because it wasn't a bad strategy. Last I checked, they won the game.
Yeah, the Giants have got to – they've just got to avoid third and long with Daniel Jones. They've got to avoid the turnovers that have just absolutely plagued them so far this season. They've got 24 giveaways, and the only team in the NFL with more is the Buccaneers with 25, and the Giants rank 31st in turnover differential at minus 12. This is an opportunity for a Bears defense that's really struggled to get takeaways, and they certainly haven't come in bunches like they did a year ago. Kind of get some in this game on Sunday, hopefully get some in the first half, and really get some momentum.
Our conversation with Brad Biggs on this Bears Friday is brought to you by Dunkin'. Chicago runs on Dunkin'. Brad, yesterday Markel Fritch talks about the stone-cold drops that the Bears just cannot tolerate anymore at the receiver position. Does that mean we might see any different receivers getting a chance to maybe not drop passes that are right in their hands?
That's a good question. Really, the only guy we haven't seen is Riley Ridley, the fourth-round pick from Georgia. And I'd assume that's because of assignment issues with Ridley needing to know, have a better grasp of the offense and not his ability to catch the football or not. But at some point here soon, whether that's this Sunday or next Thursday or the Thursday after that, what do they have to lose? You know, put the guy out there and see what he can do, because it's not like they're getting explosive plays from really anyone that they have. You know, you watch that game last night, and there's 30-yard receptions all over the place for the Houston Texans, and those just don't happen for the Bears. But the drop passes, they've been a problem. The blown assignments, you know, Matt Nagy was asked about the interception that Mitch had in that game and kind of threw Anthony Miller straight under the bus, you know, that Miller had messed up the route and he had run the route to an improper depth, and that led to the whole thing being off, and then a tipped ball going to the defensive back. Oh, by the way, Miller called for offensive pass interference on the play as well, so they've got to be better at that position. There's no question about it.
Brad, I'll ask you the question we asked this morning in the 5 at 5. Can you please predict the score of the Bears' victory over the New York football Giants? If you want to predict the Giants win, then who do you want fired on Monday?
I'm going to bet you've got callers that would still want people fired on Monday if the Bears win.
Depends how they win.
Yeah, I've got the Bears winning this game 28-17, guys. I've got some hesitation to predict the Bears to score 28 points in four quarters of football, let alone maybe even six or seven. But the Giants' defense has been terrible. New York has allowed 27 points or more in 9 of its 10 games this season. The only team that the Giants have held under 27 points is the Redskins. That was a 24-3 beatdown back when the Giants actually won 2 games in a row at the very end of September. But that defense has just been steamrolled lately and gives up just a ton of big plays. So hopefully the Bears can have some multiple 10-yard runs and some 20-yard passes, the nature of which, or the type of which, we don't see in these parts very often. And
only on Thursday.
Break out. Yeah, only on Thursdays.
Thanks, Brad.
Thank you, Brad.
All right, guys, have a great weekend.
See you Sunday.
It's a Bears Friday today on The Score. Bears Friday brought to you by Dunkin'. Chicago runs on Dunkin', as does the Mully and Haw Show.
They score 28 points. There's got to be a defensive or special teams touchdown in there. I don't know about the offense scoring 28.
We don't need that. You really would prefer it on offense, David. I don't know if you're following.
I know. You want it on offense.
Because that will create the entire effect of every play then works.
I'm just excited that they have a cold weather kicker back in cold weather.
There's a lot of things that are being said that you scratch your head about with this season.
Yes.
Okay? It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 of The Score. Who do you got in the game? And if they lose, who do you want fired? 312-644-6767. You lose to this team, someone's got to go. You tell us who. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 of The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
He's been fine. You know, obviously when any quarterback can't finish a game because of injury or whatnot, especially when a guy like Mitch, he cares so much. And he felt like he let his team down. So, of course, he was a little upset, and I think that's why he was a little bit down after the game. Obviously, losing, not playing as well as he wanted to, all that sort of compounded. So that's pretty normal. But we got to let him know, and we have let him know, hey, like, listen, if you're hurt, like, you're hurt. You didn't let the team down. And so he's understood that. He's had a good week of practice so far.
Matt told us the last 2 weeks with Trubisky have been definitely better, an improvement. Can you help us understand that a little bit?
Yeah, I think he has, you know, he's played better in a broad, you know, generalization. There's specific things, obviously, that you know, everybody's trying to improve upon. Had some drops that didn't help, you know, didn't finish drives the way we wanted to. And, you know, and then probably just talked about, you know, the end of those drives a couple minutes ago. That, you know, if we finish those and get a little confidence going kind of in everybody, things change. But, yeah, made some very good throws, had some drops, missed some things. But generally, yes, he has improved.
Best Thursday ever. He's playing better, right? Chase Daniel told you about the Thursday practice,
right?
And that helped, or Mark Helfrich chuckled.
Yeah, the quarterback coach talked about him having a great Thursday practice, and the offensive coordinator kind of laughed at the idea. You know, I think he was just so surprised to be asked about the
Mitch playing well
improvement in Mitch Trubisky, and maybe that just sort of nervous laughter.
I bet it was nervous.
Yeah. A lot of anxiety there.
But, all right, let's get to the phone lines. 312-644-6767. We'll start with Hostins. He's on the road. Morning, Hostins.
Hello.
Morning.
Yeah, I'm on.
You're on.
Hey, yeah. I wanted to answer y'all question that y'all had asked about who we thought was going to win and who should get fired on Monday. And I really and truly, I hate to say it, but I really think the Giants are going to win.
Oh.
And if they win, I'd like to see Ryan Pace let go, because he put this together. I mean, he did an excellent job with the defense, but then he did a crap job with an offense. And can I ask a question and then I'll hang up and
please,
listen?
Sure.
I read an article somewhere about the Bears trying to get Alex Smith. What is y'all thoughts on that? You guys have a good day.
No, I don't think it's such a good idea. This guy's not even been cleared to return to full physical activity. If that's your plan, maybe Alex Smith can play the Chase Daniel role of being the de facto quarterback coach on your roster.
You're going to read a lot of articles about the Bears getting a lot of people.
Yeah.
And I think what you're saying is if they lose this game, you don't want Pace being the guy to make that decision. So, fair play. Let's get to Eddie. He's in West Chicago. Good morning, Eddie.
Hey, Eddie. Good morning, Eddie. Goodbye, Eddie.
Don't tell me we lost Eddie.
We lost Eddie.
Damn it. How about Don? Don's on the west side.
Good morning, Don.
Hey, good morning, guys. So how I look at it, I kind of agree with the last caller. You know, Pace, you know, he's the mastermind behind all this. You know, I don't know how many competent GMs it is out there to replace him, but I think that it'll be easier to fire Nagy, but Pace should really get the brunt of this because he's not around to speak on his decisions.
Well,
he made some crazy decisions, to be honest with you, with this draft. Like, we believed in him because of what he did with defense, but now, you know, it kind of blew up in his face. So I think the quarterback, you know, if you look at Matt Nagy, and I'll be quick, if you look at Matt Nagy coming from the Andy Reid tree, it's high-powered offenses with passing offenses. So you kind of you get, you know, he knew he was getting that. So we can't really blame Nagy, even though we can, for not running the ball. But, I mean, that's not a fireball offense because we knew what we were getting. It was Pace that tried to make that marriage between Mitch Trubisky and Matt Nagy and that Andy Reid stuff, and it just didn't go right. You know, then you got Adam Shaheen, then all it's just inexcusable. So I really think that Pace should be fired, but they extended him, so I don't know if he will. It'll be easier to fire Nagy, but I really think Pace should be fired. Okay, thank you, guys.
How about just cutting Shaheen on principle? I mean, he's not going to be active. Maybe just cut Shaheen if you're got to fire somebody.
So you lose the Giants and you cut the tight end that didn't play.
Yeah.
Well, it's kind of, they've already kind of done that, right?
Yeah,
they have.
They've effectively done that. I mean,
they benched him
home.
And, right. Well,
wow.
He sprained his ego or something.
Sprained
happened.
His ego. There you go.
I forget what it
imagine
was.
If that was on the injury report, sprained ego.
Been a lot of those over the years.
No
NFL
doubt about
injury
it.
Reports.
And he's not even eligible to participate in practice and have a great Thursday. He's too banged up to even do that.
No.
Listen, yeah.
I think Mac might have that too, sprained ego.
I thought it was interesting that Eddie said he won't answer any questions. He won't.
Pinheiro?
No. Eddie, the caller, just said that one of the reasons he wanted to fire Ryan Pace is that he won't answer questions.
Well, I think people want to hear from him. And I think, you know, when you look at the roster that's getting a lot of criticism because of their record, the two decisions that are sticking with him most are the one about the quarterback and the one about the kicker. Because if you have a different quarterback and you have a different kicker, you have a lot of different perspective on the Bears. A
lot of trade-ups.
Yeah, he's moved around well, thrown the ball really well. And I actually told him, and this is not – I wasn't just trying to build his confidence up, but I told him I thought today he threw the ball as best as I've ever seen him on a Thursday. And that's the facts. That's
Mark's a Joliet.
Good morning, Mark.
Hey, Mark.
Good morning, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Let me first say, who do we get rid of on the Bears? It's real simple for me. It would be Trubisky. And I am neither pro-Trubisky or against Trubisky. I honestly have no feelings either way for him. But I think it's real simple. It comes down to, for me, his lack of college experience is really coming out. So when you're put against the best players in the world and you've had such little experience in college, I don't even understand the choice when they made it with him. I really don't. And that's how I feel about it.
Well, thanks, Mark.
Well, there are five games left after this one, and if Mitch plays poorly enough Sunday to get benched, I think people would understand that. The Bears have a lot to still see in their evaluation of him. There's nothing to lose by continuing to play him to see what you have if he's healthy.
I'm surprised it took us three calls to get to Mitch.
Well, it tells you a little
MVP
something.
MVP Mitchell.
About the, you know, makeup of the team, the people that drafted him, and the whole bit, right?
Yeah, I mean, and there's no doubt, and, you know, the whole draft thing, I get the Pace calls, too, because, and, you know, you guys were joking around about Shaheen, and maybe he can have a fabulous Friday, but, I mean, you know, remember all the...
I've never heard of that one.
Remember all the baby Gronk stuff when he got drafted? It's like, this guy's going to be baby Gronk. It's like, wait a second.
Nobody with a brain cell ever actually believed that he would be baby Gronk.
I guarantee you that on these airwaves, people were talking about baby Gronk. I guarantee you it.
These are dire times.
Yes, they are.
Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Joe Fortenbaugh, 95.7 The Game, is our man in Vegas by way of the Bay Area. You also see him on the Daily Wager on the Four Letter Network. And Joe, always a worthy guest, joins us on the Al Pamonte Ford Hotline. Al Pamonte Ford in Melrose Park. Good morning, Joe. How are you?
Morning, Joe.
Guys, I'm great. Things are looking up. Things are looking up. The Bulls beat the Pistons the other night.
Woo-hoo!
The Blackhawks have won 4 of 6. Mm. Grandal to the Sox.
Yes.
Thanksgiving's right around the corner.
Woo-hoo!
All these great things are taking place. How can you not be excited?
You know,
right
you
now?
Missed one.
Yes.
You missed a great story. Mitch Trubisky has had his best Thursday practice since Chase Daniel has been with the team.
What did that do to the over-under, Joe?
Is that really a story?
He said it.
Oh, it's a huge story.
I love it.
It's headline
worthy. That's optimism. That's what we're going to need this weekend if you're going to go in there and beat the New York Giants. What a mess. I know that every week when we do this, and we've been doing this now 9 years, that we're going to have a conversation about a variety of NFL and college bets, but that we're obviously going to talk about the Bears and whether or not there's an angle to be had. In the last 2 weeks, we've been on it. We had the under last week. We hit that. The week before, we took the Bears over the Lions. We hit that. We're doing all right with the NFL picks. College picks are going the other way. I'm advising that right now. They've been terrible, although last week was okay. But I cannot, for the life of me, try to figure out what I want to do with this game this weekend. Because as bad as it looks for the Bears, and the fact that the Giants are coming off the bye, I got to pay attention to that. The Giants' pass defense stinks. I mean, if there was a week for the Bears to open it up at least a little bit on offense, this would be it. And Daniel Jones has been regressing. The question for Bears handicapping right now always comes down to this. How motivated is this defense to keep showing up? Because if they show up, then we got something we can play. If not, we got to look in another direction. What are you thinking? Is the defense going to continue to try to step up and win these games?
Well, I think they have to. I mean, they have no other choice,
right,
Joe. I mean, that's their biggest asset right now.
So they can still get to 10-6 if they run the table.
Okay, so they haven't packed it in is what I'm asking.
No.
Okay, that's
not
beautiful.
Entirely.
Beautiful. I mean, they did. They had a great effort against the Rams last week, and that's what I'm thinking, because you're looking at this number, and to me, it's a perfect teaser number. It's the Bears sitting at six. If I'm in a six-point tease, I knock that thing down to zero, and I just need to win that game. Soldier Field, I do not like the Giants. If the Daniel Jones has regressed, he's holding on to the ball so long. The defense themselves can go out there and score a touchdown this weekend. In fact, that's one of those plays I would make in this game. Will there be a defensive or special teams touchdown? Obviously, I'd love to see Devin Hester walking through that door if I'm making that bet. I always think back to that game against the Broncos years ago. You know what I'm talking about? When Shanahan kept kicking the Hester, and he had the two returns in the second half
right
to break that game open. I still to this day, as a degenerate gambler, I was on the right side of that. I will never forget Shanahan kicking to him that second time, I think in the fourth, when he won that game. But anyway, I think it's a great tease, and it's going to play in to another half. If you need to bet another half on that, take the Jets from +3 up to +9. That's what I would do. I would take, if I'm doing anything with the Bears, I'm moving them in a teaser from six down to a pick 'em. They just need to win the game. I like them to do that. There's too much money on the Giants right now. The Giants stink. They're not. If the Bear defense is ready to play, the Bears win that game, and then you tease the Jets from 3 to 9. Now, I'll jump right into this as well. I'm also playing the Jets at +3. I think that might be the best bet on the board this weekend. You got to get the 3 or better, but it's one of the best on the board. This is a terrible spot for the Raiders. Terrible. It's the sixth time this season they've had to leave the Pacific time zone. Sixth time. Nobody's been asked to do anything that they've been asked to do in terms of travel. And everyone's high on the Raiders right now. Oh, they've won 3 straight. Here comes John Gruden. They've been playing well, don't get me wrong, but at the same time, those 3 games all took place at home. Now they got to go across the country to play the Jets. It's the early start time. The Jets very quietly have won each of their last 2. Sam Darnold's been cooking. And oh, by the way, Kansas City is on deck for the Raiders. So if they think they can win the division, that is a huge look-ahead spot for them right here this weekend. In addition, strength on strength. The Raiders want to run the ball. The Jets are the number one run defense. And in terms of pass defense, the Raiders have not only been terrible defending the pass, but they're down both safeties in LaMarcus Joyner and Carl Joseph. And with Darnold cooking with gas right now, I think the wrong team's favorite. I like the Jets to win that game outright. So I'd put a little on the money line there. I'd play the Jets at +3, and then I tease them up to 9 with the Bears if you're looking to get some action on Chicago.
How about the college picks, Joe?
Well, I have some other NFLs if you'd like me to dive into
those. Oh, yeah, let's stay with the NFL first, of course. Yeah.
Keep it in the pants.
All right.
Keep it easy. Ease our way through this thing. You know how we do it. Thanksgiving's right around the corner, all very excited. I would say the rest of the NFL card looks like this. Kills me to do it. I will be taking the Seattle Seahawks over the Philadelphia Eagles. It's not so much a play against Philly, as bad as they've looked. Seattle has been an absolute wagon on the road this season. If you look at what Russell Wilson and company have done, 5-0 straight up on the road, 4-1 against the spread. They're averaging 28 points per game. They've hung 27 or more in all 5 of those road games, and they're beating the spread. They're beating the spread by an average of 6 points per game. Not the final score, the spread they're beating by 6 points per game. Russell Wilson's legs buy him more time. Philly's secondary is absolutely dreadful. It's going to get plenty of time for the Seattle wide receivers to come open. And if you look at Pete Carroll off the bye, Seattle's done a very nice job since the Super Bowl. That year they won the Super Bowl 2013. From then until now, the Seahawks are 5-1 off the bye, 4-2 against the spread. They've got a +63 scoring differential. And oh, by the way, 10-1-1 against the spread in their last 12 as an underdog. So I like Seattle to go to Philadelphia and win that game. The Patriots and the Cowboys, the big one in the afternoon. I'm going to go under here. It's sitting around 45.5 for 46. I'm going to go under. 2 big reasons. Number one, obviously the New England defense. I don't really need to elaborate on that. Everyone listening understands sports. It's a great sports town in Chicago, so they know New England can play some defense. It's in Foxborough. Forecast is calling for a lot of rain. This is going to be a messy game. So if you're Dallas, you're going to want to try to air it out, but you got to get Zeke Elliott involved. And if you look at Tom Brady, he's been going through a regression this season. Completion percentage is his worst since 2013, I believe. Yards per attempt average, too, has dropped off to, I think, the second worst of his career. That's a big indicator. He's not throwing the ball down the field as much anymore. We saw this late last season We're seeing it again. If it's going to be a Patriot game, they're going to have to win it tight. I like the under. If you're looking to bet the side, I would lean to the Cowboys +6.5. I wish 7 was out there. That's a lot of points in a sloppy game with a Dallas defense that should be able to keep Brady in check for at least a part of the day. I already told you about the Jets, the final one. I'm going to take the Packers. Obviously, don't tell anyone here locally because everyone will get upset. Very sensitive out here in the Bay Area. But Green Bay's catching 3 right now. They're off the bye. The defense is very questionable. If it gets to 3.5 and it's there at some spots, obviously I would like that more because of the hook. The Niners are really banged up. It looks like Kittle, Sanders, and Samuel are all going to play, but they're not 100%. The running game hasn't been very good the last 3 weeks. Rodgers has had 2 weeks to get ready for this game. The Niners play more zone coverage than any defense in the NFL, and they've done better against quarterbacks in terms of quarterback rating in zone coverage than any team in the NFL. But Rodgers busts up zone on a regular basis. He's thrown 385 consecutive passes without an INT against zone coverage. So this is going to be strength on strength. I think when it's all said and done, I'd rather have the points in my pocket. Give me Green Bay +3. So to recap, Packers +3. Jets +3 over the Raiders. I'd play a little on the money line there. I think you can also tease the Jets up to 9 with the Bears. Bring that down to a pick 'em. So you have a little action on the Chicago game and you're rooting for the good guys. Patriots, Cowboys under 46. If you like the side there, I lean to Dallas plus the points because of the weather. And I'll take Seattle plus the point over Philadelphia.
Our conversation with Joe Fortenbaugh is brought to you by Dunkin'. Chicago runs on Dunkin'. All right, Joe.
Yes.
Ready for the college picks?
Now we get to the
college. Can we get to those now?
There it is. Patience. There it is. Now, these are big picks because they've been so lousy. I imagine the smart guys out there are going the other way. We weren't terrible with our college picks last week. Maybe we're turning the corner. And this would be the time because you guys know I like to bet just about every single bowl game on the card. That's the beauty of morning radio. I can get out of the studio and I can bet these random military bowls that are on at 10 a.m. on a Wednesday, 2 days before Christmas. And for those driving around, don't act like you don't know what I'm talking about. You're doing the same thing. So here's where we're at with college this weekend. Favorite play on the board is Tennessee +4 at Missouri. Two teams headed in very opposite directions. Tennessee was an embarrassment early in the year, but very quietly under Jeremy Pruitt, they've gotten better and turned a corner. They've won 4 of their last 5. They've covered the number in 5 straight. Missouri's headed in the exact opposite direction. Kelly Bryant, the quarterback who transferred over from Clemson, he got off to a hot start, but he's been battling injuries, and he hasn't been playing very well. The Tigers have lost 4 straight. They failed to cover the number in 5 straight. Wouldn't be surprised if Tennessee wins this outright. Give me the Volunteers +4. Game number 2, we're taking Tom Herman as a dog. I know a lot of people out there that have been listening to this segment for a long time. They've known this trend forever. Forever we've been talking about Tom Herman as an underdog. I'm not necessarily playing Texas this weekend because they're an underdog. They're +6 at Baylor. This is mostly a bet against Baylor because they blew that game last week against Oklahoma. Perfect record. They were up 28-3. They're cruising on national television. They've got the college football playoff in sight, and then they absolutely choked that game away to Jalen Hurts and the Sooners. Never should have happened. Terrible heartbreaker. Now you got to find a way to turn around after. If you just lost the game, that's one thing. Like with Minnesota losing that game, we called that last week. You lose that game, I think Minnesota probably turns around and puts on a good show this weekend, although it's a tough matchup. But I'd say this, I think that Baylor heartbreaker kills that season. Give me Texas +6. That's a really bad spot for the Bears. Penn State, Ohio State, I'm going to go under 58.5. Rain in the forecast for this game. Ohio State's going to, they have played unbelievable defense this season. I cannot believe how big this spread is. It is so alarming to me to see this spread at 18.5. And that shows you what they think of Ohio State. They've been an absolute juggernaut. Chase Young's coming back this weekend for this game. You got rain in the forecast. If Ohio State gets up early, they're going to just want to get the clock drained out so they can turn around and get ready for Michigan in the big game the following week. So I'm playing the under there, but I also lean the Penn State. For note, Ohio State, 5-1 straight up, but 0-6 against the spread the last 6 years in the week before Michigan. You want to go back 10 years, they're 1-8-1 against the spread the last 10 years in the week before Michigan. So keep that in mind. I would take Penn State +18.5, but I like the under more. And then finally, I'd play Indiana at plus 10 or better if you can get it against Michigan. Same concept. Michigan's looking ahead to Ohio State. Harbaugh's had four games against the Buckeyes. The week before, he's 3-1, but he's 1-3 against the spread. And you generally see that game play to an under as well. So Indiana had a shot last week to get Penn State. They missed it. They're at home. They're catching a ton of points. It's a good spot for a big upset. I would take Indiana plus the 10 if you can get it. Under Penn State, Ohio State, 58.5. Texas plus 6 over Baylor. Tennessee plus 4 over Missouri.
Joe, you are the best, buddy. Always a joy.
Have a great weekend.
This is a week for Mitchell Trubisky, boys. It all turns around. Enjoy the game. I love you guys. I'll catch you next week.
All right, pal. That is Joe Fortenbaugh, of course, 95.7 The Game in the Bay Area. And you can see him on the four-letter network if you must. But Joe does a great job.
Busy guy. Good
Very
stuff.
Very busy man. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.